Hi, I'm Serena Mihaila, and welcome to Why Running, the podcast where we share stories, tips, and advice to inspire and motivate you on your running journey. As a runner, I love discovering people's unique stories about running, and recently, I've realized that, in fact, all runners do. There's something special about hearing people talk about that day when they first hit the road, or that time when they first got runner's high. Why Running is all about storytelling. Each week, we'll hear from runners, athletes, and content creators from across the globe and explore their stories and what running really means to them. So if this sounds good to you, then keep on listening. If you're on Instagram or TikTok, you probably already know our guest. She posts hugely popular running jelly suit videos, and she's got more than 320,000 followers on Instagram and over 1 million on TikTok. She's an ultra runner, a research professional, and she's recently become a mom. Please welcome to Why Running, Nat Long.
Hello. Hiya. Thank you so much for asking me to come on.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Nat. It's honestly so lovely to have you. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be excited about this conversation.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. I love talking about running and I love talking to anyone about running. So I'm happy to have a chat. And if anyone finds it interesting, then that's great.
Oh, I'm sure they will. So I know you've just done your first race as a mom, your first half marathon recently, just a few days ago, to be precise. How was it, and how did it feel to do your first race after a quite long break?
Yeah, it felt like a really long break for me, just because before pregnancy, I did so many races so consistently for so long, like for years and years. It felt really good. And to be honest, the main reason it felt really good was for my head, my psychology. I've got a marathon coming up in October on the 20th. So this was really like supposed to be a training run, sort of just getting my mind into sort of the racing atmosphere again, and obviously making sure my pace and my fitness is where it's at. But no, it was brilliant, really well coordinated, really well run race. And Ollie and my new son, Hugo, Ollie's his dad, my fiance, they were there. So that was really nice as well. Yeah, and it went really well. Like I didn't go crazy. I tried to do it as a training race rather than going all out. But I felt really good at the end. My body felt good. And like I say, the main thing is at the end of it, for my head, my psychology, I just thought, oh, that went as well as it could have done, really.
I like the fact that you document everything so that people can see, you know, the highs and the lows, and also that things might go wrong sometimes. So I really love that, because sometimes on social media, you can feel like everything goes well for the people on social media and everything looks perfect. So it's nice to have that realistic perspective as well.
Oh, I'm so glad that comes through. And I'm glad you said that, because I do always try and be as real as possible on there and share exactly what does happen. And my post that I made about that run, because like I say, everything went well as it could have done. But like I said in the post, in reality, I turned up late. There's always learning things from races, isn't there? And even if they go well, it doesn't mean that you got the time you wanted to or everything went perfect on the day. I turned up late and I had to feed Hugo, and I always planned, because I'm exclusively breastfeeding, I always planned to feed him right before the race, even though we had a bottle of express milk, just because that's the way I wanted to do it. I know he'd probably be more settled if I gave him a feed right before. And I was planning on taking 2 hours or 2.5 hours. So if it was 3 hours, that's when he would need a feed. So anyway, I did him a feed at the start of the race. That meant I was running even later. We should have just left earlier, to be honest. It was totally my fault. And like I mentioned in the post, the start of this race, you have to do 0.6 running up a hill and then turn around and come back. And the whole race had started and they'd already done the running up the hill. And when I got to the start line, I said, I'll just do the next race that starts later on. I'll do the 10K instead. And they said, no, you can still do it. So I was like, okay. So when I started, I was running the opposite direction to everybody up this hill, everybody looking at me like, oh, this poor girl. And then had to turn around and try and catch the race up. So yeah, I looked like an absolute novice or somebody that was right at the back, and everybody was cheering at me like, oh, yay. And it isn't the way that obviously I'd say to people to do a race, because then you're trying to run really fast at the start. My heart rate was going up. But yeah, I shared all that because just to say to people, like, oh, my learning point for next time as a running mum is definitely leave earlier than I even think I should so I can get the feed in and start the race on time. But yeah, I like to share all the things that go wrong because, like you say, it sometimes resonates with people and helps them. So it's always good.
Yeah, definitely. You've been running for almost your whole life. I know you've previously talked about how you started running and how you fell in love with running as a kid. What was it about running that you loved at that age?
Oh, what was it? There's so many things about running that I loved, but my first sort of experience of starting to do running on the roads, going out and training like without competing, was with my dad. So I used to get in from school, and my mum and dad, both of them, have been into running for such a long time. I don't know when they both started, but I know my mum met my dad when she was 18, and she was already running then. And then they did like races together. There was this run on the island called the Island Run where they live. And they always used to do that every year. So yeah, when I came along, they sort of kept up their fitness. So I suppose I grew up seeing a sporty parents, which influenced probably me getting into it. But it was just really nice sort of bonding father-daughter thing, I think, initially, going out and having a bit of a chat, and just sort of, and kids sort of enjoy things by play, don't they? So I think going out with dad in my teens, it was just a really, really fun, enjoyable thing. And also being out as well, like we had the beach quite near us, and we used to run to the beach quite a lot, which I think was only about a mile away. So yeah, I think it was the enjoyment of being out, being in nature, being with my dad, and sort of movement and just moving your body. So I suppose all of that sort of ties into to the psychology of it all, which is one of the main reasons I still love it now, like the thinking time and being outside. So yeah, I'd say that's probably the main reason why I got into it in the first place. It wasn't for the races or for the pushing myself or for body image or anything like that. It was just the psychological bonding and being out and moving my body, really.
Yeah, and I think that's why it also stayed with you because it was such a healthy relationship from a very young age, seeing it in your parents, and it wasn't for, losing weight or anything like that. So, yeah, it's really, really empowering. I know you played football for a while as well, and you had a little break at one point when you didn't run that much. When did you get back into running?
I always get the years muddled up, but I did play football for quite a long time when I was at secondary school and then into uni. But I feel like I was still doing bits and bobs of running, but not competing. And obviously, running really helped with football. So I was still doing bits of running, but I would say it was 2018, I'm sure it was, when my local running club reached out to me and asked me to come back. And I'd been with them in my teens. I'd done some cross country with them and a bit of track. Yeah, and in 2018 they asked me to come back, or suggested I come back, or said, how am I doing, or whatever. And so I joined them, did some sessions with them, and then they encouraged me to do Brighton Marathon. So I thought, oh, all right, I've never done a marathon before. I've only done, I think I'd only done cross country and 10 Ks. I'd never competed. And then, yeah, ever since then, that I started training for Brighton Marathon. Brighton Marathon did not go to plan, but I still loved it in a roundabout way, which seems to be the story of a lot of my races. And then, ever since 2018, I just started up in the distance since then and did like just more marathons, and then ultras in 2019, I think, was my first ultra marathon. Yeah, that's what got really into it.
What do you remember about that first marathon? Why'd you say that it wasn't great?
It wasn't great. It was started. I was so excited. And cut a long story short, I went out too fast. I had, and this is me with running. But before, I had a lot of confidence and not the experience, basically, which I suppose everybody starts out like that. And I didn't have nutrition knowledge. So I started off really fast. Got to halfway and I was on for a 3 hour, 3.5 hour marathon, which is absolutely crazy for a first marathon, especially someone that'd been training the amount I had like that, and that wasn't my ability level. I shouldn't have been going that fast, basically. And I'd only had, I think, a tiny sip of a gel before then. And I just remember I was still like absolutely going too fast. And I only had like a Casio watch on as well. I didn't even have a running watch at that time. I didn't even really know my pace, but I saw the time at the halfway, and I looked back on my splits and I could see that I was going on for a 3.5 hour marathon. Yeah, and a bit after halfway, I hit the wall, and I've never hit the wall like that before. And people say like it's just a mental thing, but it is so physiological. Like my whole body literally felt like I'd run into a wall, and my strides were long before that. And then as soon as I reached this point, all I could do was shuffle. And everything was just drained from me, and I was just shuffling along in so much pain. And like I said, it was only about 13 miles in at this point, and I thought, how am I going to make it to the end? And I remember shuffling towards this little lad cheering at the side. He had a banana in his hand, and I must have looked like just awful. Took this banana out of his hand. I think I like said like thank you, like in my exhausted state. And then after that banana, it pulled me back a bit, and I got like a bit of a second wind. And then I managed to finish it, but it was just pain for the rest of that race. It was just pain until the end. But then I finished it in 3:42, which I was so surprised and so pleased about, and so amazed, because I thought I'm going to shuffle to the end. It's going to take me like 6, 7 hours. That's what I was thinking when I was feeling like that. And your brain just goes, and I wasn't even looking at my watch. But yeah, I was actually really pleased. So that was how it went. So I loved it, but half of it was absolute pain just because of bad preparation, really.
I feel like a lot of people don't go beyond the marathon distance. What was it for you that made you want to go further and explore ultra running? And when did you start doing your first ultra races?
So I always do like to do things to the maximum, I think. Like I like to push things and explore every area of everything that I get into. And I'm kind of like a jack of all trades, they sort of say, because I don't like to stick to one thing. Like I do like to explore all different kinds of things. But it what I remember the first time I thought, oh yeah, maybe I'll try running further, is when a lady called Olwyn, lovely lady who was at that running club that I'd gone back to, she introduced me to some local trail ultra marathon people that run them all around Kent where we live. So yeah, she was the first person to sort of say like, oh, have you seen these people that do ultra marathons? And it's these events where you have 6 hours and you just go as far as you can, like, as far as you like. There's no sort of set distance. So I think I did a 30 mile with her, a really chilled, really happy one around like sort of a country park place. And then after that, I thought, oh, at the end, actually, the organisers said, you look far too happy and you did that far too well. So you need to start considering like competing and doing like proper ultra marathons. And then I thought, oh, yeah, maybe I will. And then that was that. And then tried more and more and more.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, now a big part of your life is not just life as an ultra runner and doing it for your own mental health and for your own well-being. It's also for doing it for your page, and you're now a content creator as well. How has being a content creator and being on social media changed your life? And if you look back, how was your life a few years ago before starting social media compared to now?
I would say it has brought me a lot of happiness. I love doing my social media pages and just the comments and the messages and the people saying that my content motivates them is so motivating to me, and it absolutely makes me want to keep it up. And just the way that social media sort of links you to people, it changes my perspective on things and gives me other people's opinions on things, which I don't think I had before I did social media, if that makes sense. Like, I've always loved chatting to people about running and connecting with runners, but social media has just connected me to like thousands and thousands of people in a nice way.
It's so amazing that you've built this positive community as well, because every time I go on your page, I see very supportive people, people who love and enjoy your content, and also who challenge themselves because of your content. It's so nice to see that, because sometimes, as I said earlier, just social media can make you feel bad about the way you look or about your performance. Whereas with your content, I think it's completely the opposite, and people really love coming back to your page for that reason.
I love that you said that, and you totally just reminded me of what I was going to say. Yeah, I love that people are motivated by my content, even though most of it is very light-hearted, like me going out and my paces are very chilled, and I feel like it's more of an entertainment sort of page than a getting tips page. And I love to add the tips in, and I'll always answer people in the comments if they ask me for my experience or advice. But the main point about my page is the joy of running, I think, rather than the, like, some pages are fantastic for getting into the nitty-gritty and getting advice. But that's what why it's brought me happiness, I think, because people are getting motivation from me just absolutely enjoying my runs and going out and making these fun videos and doing these chilled paces. And yeah, that's what I wanted to say, is that I love that people are enjoying me enjoying it. That's the brilliant thing about the pages.
People often recognize you in the street as well when you're either doing your videos or just out and about. How does that feel? And does it ever feel surreal to you? Like, do you still like feel like, oh, I can't believe that just happened?
Definitely, yeah. It's so many times it feels surreal, and you do sort of forget it. Like, even though you see these numbers on the pages, and you want your videos to sort of do well, obviously, like you want them to get out to a lot of people because that's why you make them, because you want them to get out to lots of people. But I personally forget that each of these numbers are real people and real eyes seeing it. And it has hit home a couple of times recently. Like, I did Run Until You See a Packet of Cheese recently on the island. And I knew it was going to be just a funny one. And I looked for, and they, oh, it's a John, I'm not the person that requested it, so I'm not allowed to look in shops for this packet of cheese. And the first open door with somebody standing on their drive that I got to, because I was looking around, I was thinking, oh, I can ask someone for a piece of cheese if I see anybody. And I only approach people, or talk to them, or even film them if I can see that they're sort of interacting with me in a smiley sort of manner. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd hate to stick my camera in somebody's face who doesn't want to be filmed. And I always explain to people afterwards what I'm doing. But anyway, yeah, this first door with this man on his drive that I come to, I sort of smiled at him and then said, "Have you got a packet of cheese?" And then he asked his missus for a packet of cheese, and then she brought this packet of cheese out. And I said, "Oh, thank you so much." And then I just was about to explain why I was filming it, and she went, "I know who you are. I really like you. I saw you on the thingy. I've seen you on TikTok, Facebook, blah blah." And I was like, wow, that is crazy. The first door that I got to, and she knows who I am. And I thought, oh, that's so lovely. And then just had a really nice interaction. Yeah, and there's been a couple of times that recently where literally strangers have been like, "I know you." And I've been like, wow, like, a lot of people just recognize me from these videos, which is lovely. Like, I always love it. And people message me and say, "Oh, I was too shy. I wanted to chat to you, I wanted to come up to you." And I love people coming up to me. So I don't think anyone should ever not come up to me and have a chat, because, like you've probably realized already, I like to chat and I like to talk. So I encourage anyone to come up to me and have a chat if they want to, because I like it.
You've done tons of Run Until You See videos. What were kind of the most fun to you? I know one of the most popular one is the one where you ran for a whole day. I think it was like 12 hours. Was that like a good one, or like what was the one that you enjoyed the most?
Oh, one I enjoyed the most. That's a great question. I enjoyed so many of them so much for lots of different reasons. The running all day one was brilliant, because I entwined a Run Until You See request with a race, which I often do, because I think if I'm doing a race and I've got a request in that fits it, then I'll always try and twine it in. And quite early on that run in the video, I saw a wallaby, which looks like a kangaroo, and I didn't even know it was a wallaby at first. I think I even wrote on the video kangaroo. And I think always when there's a fun thing at the end but also an animal in the middle, they're always really fun runs, and I enjoy filming them and editing them. But to be honest, my most fun one, that off the top of my head, which is more like, just means a lot to me, that video, more than fun, but is my Run Until You See a Pregnant Woman one. Because it was my announcement that I was pregnant to everybody, and I was thinking how I wanted to do it, and I didn't want to overthink it, because I wanted to just make it like sort of real and natural at the time. And I wanted to do it during the day, and then we couldn't do it during the day because I wanted to feature Ollie at the end, and I was getting annoyed with him that we had to do it at the end of the day. But then the weather just went so perfect, and like, sort of as the sun was going down and in the fields around near me where I started the run. Yeah, and just editing that one was sort of just quite emotional, because it was the announcement and whatever, and Ollie was at the end with the ultrasound picture. So that's the one off the top of my head that I absolutely love. And to be honest, I know it sounds kind of vain. I hope it doesn't sound too vain in a way, but I love watching my old Run Until You See videos. Like, quite often I'll go back and watch them again and again, and it's sort of lovely memories of the runs and lovely memories of like moments in my life. So yeah, there is quite a few that I look back on that I really enjoy, like reliving the runs.
Yeah. I mean, the one with the pregnancy announcement is it's just brilliant. I was watching it just before we started, and I think it's got over 1 million likes, I think, on Instagram.
Really,
And
I can't, yeah, I don't know how many. I know you
it's
got so many
crazy. I was
views.
like, because I know it's pinned at the top of your page, so I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And I think it generated such a beautiful reaction among your audience, and everyone was, oh my God, congratulations. And yeah, so much excitement, and everyone was so happy for you. Yeah, it's such a lovely way to announce it. And yeah, I think it's so you. It was definitely you 100%.
Oh, good, thank you. Yeah, because I wanted to do it like with most content, you've got to enjoy doing it and do it the way you wanted to do it. And even if it didn't reach so many, I would have still been happy and I would have still rewatched it and been smiling about it. But when it did do so well, I thought, I think it's a number of things. Like obviously there's so many things that go into a video that mean it do well, and you've got to sort of tick the right boxes with how it looks and the music and all of that. But yeah, that one did better than I ever could have imagined, which was nice.
Yeah, so we can't talk about your life without talking about Hugo now. How's being a mom, and how's your life changed since becoming a mom?
So much has changed. Everything changes, and I'm still Nat Runs, and I still absolutely love my running. But I'm a new, I would say, more improved me, and it's hard to explain having a child, because it takes up so much time, and I've got so many more things to think about. But it's definitely made me very good with my time. Like the way that I get my runs in, the way that I do my training, and the way I do all the other parts of my life is really optimized now, which is good when you're training for an event or trying to schedule marathon training and whatever. And it's made me less selfish as well, which I think about quite often, because Hugo is my priority. Like I love my running, and I feel like when you're an athlete and you've got a goal, there's no doubt about it, you do have to be quite selfish and make sacrifices with things. And Ollie's always been so supportive and brilliant when I'm doing all of these events. But he has to sort of support me, especially for the ultras. He's had to support me before. I've had to say no to friends and family to doing things, and been selfish and make sacrifices in that way. So now I've just got a new perspective on things. Like my races and my training and everything has to work around Hugo and what's best for Hugo. But they absolutely do go hand in hand. Like I say this to people, I am definitely a better mum now that I'm in my routine of training. I've got some structure about my life. For my mental health and my psychology, running it just makes me so happy, and that sort of filters down into how I care for Hugo as well. Like, so yeah, it's really good. It's really tough. Like, I won't say that it's all rosy and all amazing and it just fits together beautifully and life's bliss, because definitely there's been at really, really hard moments, and newborn stage is really hard. My birth did not go to plan at all. It was the opposite of what I would have liked. Recovery was difficult. I had postpartum anxiety that came on quite intense for a little while. But now he's 5 months. It is just completely different to when he was 2 months. And yeah, I just absolutely love my life as a mum, and loving where I'm at with my running. There's still hard moments, but no, it's really good. I'm really, really happy at the moment.
I'm so glad, and I think it's so nice that now Hugo is he 5 months old now?
Yeah, 5 and a half months, yes.
Yeah, and you can take him with you for at races, and you can have him there support you, which I think is so nice, like you did with the last half marathon. Would you say that your running now helps you to be a better mom as well? Would you say that you rely on running for your mental health and well-being a lot?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely for me, because I've always done it, and like I mentioned before, it's the thinking time, it's the being in nature. And if I was to take that away from myself completely, I would be really, really sad without it. I mean, if something happened to me physically and I had to find a different sport to do, I'm sure I would, and I'd get my movement in one way or another. But no, I think people are realizing it more now, and there's less of a taboo about mothers running or even pregnant people running, because I think people are realizing it absolutely brings benefits, psychology, and it's definitely not a detriment to the baby, the child. It's a benefit in lots of ways, and for them to grow up with a lot of movement and being outside is got to be good. And there's so many running mums that I see on. That's another amazing thing about social media, because I was apprehensive how it was going to work in pregnancy and postpartum. And you've got to be careful social media who you're taking your advice from, and have a look at the sort of people they are, obviously. But there's some professionals and just some running mums just sharing their experience that I've got a lot of advice and connections with that's really helped me. But yeah, definitely, I cannot wait to take Hugo out with me on the runs, but they have to be 6 months. I've got a running buggy from Out and About, which I cannot wait to put him in. And I think he'd get a lot of enjoyment from being out, hopefully. Hopefully he enjoys it. So that's another good thing to look forward to in less than a month.
So that's going to be pretty soon. So still going to be able to enjoy the autumn with Hugo, just the
Yeah,
runs.
yes. I can't wait to be in the woods in autumn. Be lovely.
So now you're one of those mums who are sharing their motherhood journey on social media with your other page that you've built. What reaction have you and what feedback have you received from the people who are following you on there?
Yeah, it was such, I went through such a long thought process with how I was going to share motherhood and with my Nat Runs page. I didn't know whether I was going to split the two pages at first, and also I did go through lengthy discussions and thinking about things with Ollie about whether we was even going to share Hugo on social media, because there's obviously a lot of considerations about that as well. But with the running page, I decided to keep that just running, because I thought my run TCs, people enjoy that. They go on there for some entertainment, the odd tips here and there. But if I want to share mum stuff and I want to build a community about that, because also in kind of a selfish way, like I love putting content out for the feedback that I get. And as a new mum that's never had a baby before, I watch so many videos and I watch so many YouTubes and on different social media places that I wanted to share what I was doing to get the sort of feedback sort of thing to tips and whatever. So I thought, no, I've got to split the two pages. And then I started doing like, this is what I'm packing in my hospital bag, and this is the kind of birth that I'm hoping for, or preparing, what do they call it? Not a birth plan, a birth preference. This is my preferences. That's what you should have rather than a plan. But I am really happy now, and that I've split the two pages, because I am sharing sort of the classes and getting the community with the Nat mums that aren't necessarily runners that want to see the Run Until You See runs. So yeah, I'm glad with that decision now that I decided to split the two. But it is, I do have to be, I want to be consistent on both. So it is quite a lot at the moment, and I do need a bit more structure about the pages, I think. But no, yeah, I still really enjoy posting to both of them.
How do you balance everything? How do you balance your family life with your social media life? It seems like you've got a lot going on, and with the second page as well as extra content that you need to do. How do you make time for everything?
Yeah. So I definitely do a lot when Hugo goes to bed. And I mean, we have quite a nice bedtime routine now. So I like to do a lot of my planning, my social media editing, my thinking about what I'm going to do for the week coming, when he's in bed. And I do sort of do a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like when am I going to run? And also I don't want to be on my phone in front of Hugo either. So it's like when he's napping. So I might film something. So for example, after a class, so I film during the class, and a lot of the content where Hugo's involved is very, what's the word? I just prop the phone up and then we crack on with whatever we're doing. So it doesn't really take any extra time, and then I just edit it. Normally, put him in the car, naps in the car, edit it in the car, and then I can post it while he's still asleep, and then that's that content done. So it's kind of weaving it into the day, and so it doesn't take up too much time. And for my runs and my run TCs, I mean, I've got to get my runs in anyway. And where I've been doing them for so long, I'm so pleased and kind of grateful in a weird way that they really don't take that much time to sort of edit and do, because I'm running like while I'm filming, like while I'm doing it. And that's just been learning over time how to speed up the editing process, sort of thing. And that's the thing, I think they come off better when they do. When they don't, it's weird. When you don't spend too much time thinking, planning, editing, the videos look better, because they're more like, this is my real life. If you enjoy it, and you enjoy it, do you know what I mean? So yes, that's how I juggle it, really. Try and make it my life as much as possible, and then do the stuff that does take time in the evenings when he's gone to bed. That's what I do at the moment.
I think it's really helpful, as you said earlier, that the way you do your videos, you film your videos, has improved a lot. I think you posted a video a while ago with some footage from your old phone, or was it like an old phone that you used to use, and how different the quality was compared to now. And I think you like discover new modes on your phone that helps you adjust the movement so that you film better on the run. So that's great, because now it just makes everything easier.
Oh, definitely. It's crazy, isn't it? I look back at the old ones and I think, how did people enjoy this? And how did I look at that and think that would be pleasing to watch for people to watch that? But the phones are fantastic. Like when I got the iPhone 14 and realized it had the sport mode. Do you know what? I think a follower actually told me about that mode before I even realized it. I think someone DM'd me and said, have you tried sport mode? And when I clicked that little sport mode button, the stabilization was just like next level, so smooth. Like I can wobble my hand and you wouldn't even know after I watched it back. But yeah, that is something I try and do. Like I want to keep them very real. And people have said about using a gimbal, but I like to hold my phone. I like to keep them real and I like to integrate it into my run as much as possible. But I am always looking to make them more visually pleasing. And I will always try and refine my skills and think of new ways to make them engaging, to so people are so it doesn't get boring. I don't want my page to be boring. If I want to keep motivating people and people to keep enjoying stuff, I need to keep leveling up. So I am always trying to think of new ways to make them exciting.
Yeah. Do you still find it awkward to film your runs? Because I think at the start it might just be a bit unusual if people see you on the street just with your phone filming your runs. Do you feel like it got used to that now, and you're nailing it now, so you're not worrying about it anymore?
I wouldn't say always nailing it. Like there are always times, and it normally depends maybe what kind of mood I'm in. But most of the time, I mean, it's like with everything with running and content creation, it is a mindset thing. And when I'm really excited to do something or film something or it's a really fun video, I don't care who's around. And being able to be a bit embarrassing, I think, is also important for social media because it's actually not embarrassing when you get to the end product most of the time. You're just embarrassed in the moment. But when I get really excited, I forget about being embarrassed and then I don't care who's around and then I'll film. But there are still moments where I've got to film something and I might be in a weird headspace and I will be trying to talk to the camera because that's what I like to integrate as well, not just running TCs. I want to chat to the camera if something's on my mind that I think might benefit people to hear or whatever, or be funny or whatever. Then I do like to run and talk to the camera. So most of the time I don't really care. And when I've got something to say, my mind just wants to say it. But there definitely are still moments when people are around that I think, like, oh, I'm not really in the mood for this. And then sometimes, do you know what? I just give up on filming it that day and then come back to it the next day. And then often it comes out better when I'm in a better headspace about it.
But I think with those embarrassing moments, I think that's what really makes the content also relatable, because people can relate to it and can see that, oh, you know, this happens to her as well. So it's not just me that kind of gets embarrassed sometimes, or that has like a bad run, or that needs to finish earlier because, you know, doesn't feel great. So I think that's, again, that's what makes your content special, really, because it's relatable and realistic.
Oh, I love that. I love that you've said that because I do think that's a positive thing that social media has moved in the last few years, I think. I used to see a lot of beautiful pages, very curated, really cool people. And me and my other half always laugh because I've never been cool and I've never sort of strived to be cool. Like I've always been sort of this scatty person that just overshares and speaks my mind and all whatever. And I do think that's wonderful that people go on there and be really authentic and themselves and be a bit silly and whatever. And that's the people that I like to see and resonate with when you can really see they are being like really authentic. And that is a good thing about how social media has changed, I think, that people are realizing, I mean, it's better for our mental health as well to see more really realistic things than just this perfect thing that actually is just a highlight reel and isn't even a real thing anyway. So yeah, that is something I always want to be mindful of making it very real and authentic.
Absolutely, I agree, and I think it's so motivating for people as well to go back on social media. It's not a scary place anymore. You get motivated and empowered, and you feel like, oh, you know, you get some inspiration, and you don't feel discouraged, because I think that was the case a few years ago with the pages you described as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, I'm definitely glad for everybody that has moved more in a way like that.
I mean, I know we're getting closer to the end of the year, but I still want to ask you about your running goals for the next 12 months. So I know you mentioned earlier the marathon that you're doing in October. What other races are you thinking of doing next year?
I have something in my sights. A big, I can't say too much. I'm going to sound like I'm trying to be really elusive here, but a very big and very famous, very fantastic race that I have idolized for so long. It's an ultra marathon. Have reached out to me, and I haven't got back to them yet because I didn't know where I was going to be at. And it's so hard with having a baby to plan things, and I didn't want to push myself, I do want to push myself because I do enjoy pushing myself, and I enjoy feeling sort of uncomfortable to an extent when I'm training for a race. But also, I want to keep saying to people, there is absolutely no rush after you have a baby. Even as somebody who creates content, there's no rush to start doing these crazy distances. But on the same hand, like if that's what you love and that's what you enjoy, then you can and should have these goals. So there is a big ultra marathon in April, which will be a year after I give birth. And April, I think a similar time when you've got race coming up, isn't it? Which sounds so far away, but obviously it does come around so quick. There's a big one in April, and the terrain is absolutely crazy. I'm going to give the game away, but I've never run this terrain before, and I've got the choice of doing an 80K or the proper distance, I think, is a 100 mile run. And I've done a few 100 mile runs before. But I don't want to commit to doing 100 miles a year after giving birth if I'm gonna sort of not be at that level. And it you can do it as a multi-stage event. And the other consideration that I really need to talk to Ollie about and sit down and think about it is obviously I want to still be breastfeeding at that point. And I don't know where I'll be at with Hugo. I mean, he probably might be weaned a bit by then. But yeah, anyway, there's all these considerations, and I'm finding it more difficult than ever to have long-term goals at the moment. But that race in April is a fantastic race, and like I say, I was just over the moon when they reached out to me. So I'd really, really like to make that work if I can, if it's going to be the best for all of us, like me, Hugo, and Ollie. So I'll keep you updated about whether I decide to do that one, but yeah, at the moment, Amsterdam Marathon, see how that goes, and then consider that one in April as my next big one.
Yeah, it sounds like you need to stay very organized with everything. So now you consider everything in advance and plan a lot more than you used to. Because I think, like in the past, it was just super easy to just sign up and, you know, whereas now
That's
it's,
so true.
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many races, and with this local trail that do ultramarathons, I have been sp so spontaneous before. Whereas at a good level of fitness, I could just randomly book a race. And I've never been the most organized person, to be honest. So yeah, you're completely right. It takes a lot more planning, more thought process to make sure I do things the right way now.
You've got a lot of experience, and you've done so many races. What advice would you give to someone who's training for their first race, whether it's a 5K, a 10K, half marathon, or even a marathon?
So the main tip that I always say, which I'll always stand by, is enjoy it. And I know it's not as simple as just clicking your fingers and enjoying it, but start slowly is one of the main things about enjoying it. Because if it's your first marathon, and even in your training runs, like people underestimate how much better you can feel if you go slower than you ever even thought that you should be, and just soak up the atmosphere at the start of a race as well. Like, go as slow as you possibly can, soak up the atmosphere. I would say, don't even look at your watch for the first half a mile. Plod along, and then when you sort of got into a rhythm, then you can think about pacing, think about what you've planned and what you've done in your training. So that is my main point. Enjoy it, go slow at the start. And with training, start your training slower than you even think you should. And you can get so many more miles out of yourself if you start really, 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 really slow. And then the other main point that definitely needs to be considered and thought about is nutrition, which is what went wrong in my first marathon. So that I'm a really big learning point to say to everybody. So do your training runs with what you're going to use on the day. Eat before you think you should. Like with ultra marathons, I'm big on eating now, and I've sort of trained my gut to be able to handle any sort of food. So even for the half marathon, I was eating sort of a flapjack bar, which a lot of people wouldn't do on a half marathon because they wouldn't think you need it. But I know for my body, I absolutely need a lot of fuel to get the energy out of it, and my body can handle it, and I don't suffer with GI issues, with gut issues. So yes, yeah, so that's my main tips. Enjoy it, go slow at the start, think about your pacing afterwards, and eat before you're hungry. Like, try loads of things, jelly babies, sweets, flapjacks, that sort of stuff, and then gels if you want. I don't really get on with gels, to be honest. I like real food, but gels are a brilliant thing to practice with. Yeah, that's my main tips, I'd say, off the top of my head.
The nutrition piece, I think, is so important because nutrition is so easy to neglect. I feel a lot of people just go and get a protein bar and they think, oh, this should last me like for a half marathon or marathon. And then you realize how depleted your body feels and how hungry you are, or how weak you feel after like 20, 25K. And as you said, just experiencing with real food might be easier than just getting gels or things that you've never tried before. So I love that. Thanks for sharing that.
You're completely right. Yeah, just one more little point on that, because you just made me think. But if you don't fuel and you neglect it a bit, like I have done, like a lot of people do, it does really mess with your head when you're depleted on a run, and you might think you haven't got the fitness, and you might think you're weak and you can't do the distance, when really just a little top up of some energy will give you sort of the glucose and whatever, and how it breaks down your body. But it will make your mind realize it's just a refueling thing, it's not a fitness thing. So yeah, you're completely right. I do think it is especially for beginners, and even when I began marathons, it's definitely something, a big point that needs to be considered is nutrition.
Yeah, and from my experience, it's the same as what you said earlier, just to have it before you feel the need for it, before you get hungry, before you feel weak, because that's when you're going to be able to use it quickly, and you're not going to hit that wall or feel weak because you've already got that energy.
Absolutely, yeah. Little and often, little bit earlier than you need, and just have it often just to keep you topped up, definitely.
My final question for you is, why do you run, and what do you love about running?
Why do I run? So we've covered a lot of points. My main point is absolutely the enjoyment, which ties into the more deeper level. I felt like one of their memes then. You know when it says a picture, why do you love running? If people ask me why I love running, the basic thing is it makes me happy. But on a deeper level, it is the psychology of it, the being in nature, how it makes me feel afterwards, and how it makes me feel like that everything surrounding it, like I literally live my life happier knowing I've got a goal, knowing I'm in training for a run. I know that it helps me connect and bond with so many people, like doing things like this, and people that have got a shared value. And I think the running community is so lovely. Like I've made so many friends through running and seeing people at races, and the half marathon I did, I connected with so many people that I'd just spoken to on social media, which was lovely. So yeah, I'd be and then on the back of that, sort of the secondary benefits of being fit and like living your life with energy is just fantastic benefits of running. But yeah, the main reason I love running is because I absolutely love it, and the enjoyment I get out of it, and the mental health side of it right now benefits me so much. That's my main reasons.
Oh, I think you've summarized it perfectly. I completely agree. And I'm so glad to see more people getting into running on social media, because I think it wasn't a thing a few years ago. A lot of people were still going to gym and weightlifting, which is still great, but I think the social aspect of running is great and unique, and special to running. So I'm so pleased to see more people running and doing their first 5Ks, 10Ks. It's just nice because you realize that you're not competing with anyone, and you just do it for yourself, for your mental health, and to connect with people, really.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that is the amazing thing about social media. Like if you like ourselves, like when you get so much joy out of something, you kind of want to shout it to people and be like, try it, you might love it. And especially with the way the world is at the moment, there are so many things to be stressed about and to be worried about. And if people haven't tried running, it could be like the key to a bit of a happier life. And that's where social media helps us, because they see a simple, entertaining video of someone like all smiling the run, and they think, oh, maybe I should try that one day, and then give it a try, and then find joy out of it. And that is the beauty. Yeah, I completely agree. That's the fantastic thing about sharing what we love on social media.
Yeah. Before you go, I've just got a quick fire round of questions if you're up for it. So, there's just four questions. The first one is, what's your favorite season for running?
Autumn, absolutely autumn. I mean, we're in autumn now, and I'm realizing it more than ever. the trees, the woods. I'm a definitely a trail runner at heart, even though I do like my road marathons. So autumn, predominantly for the nature and for the nice weather. Like if you're running fast, you don't get too hot. So yeah, autumn is my absolute fave.
What's your favorite place to run?
Ooh, the woods. It's got to be the woods. Again, like autumn running through the woods, spotting the odd animal here and there, like just, and they're usually so quiet, which I mean is crazy because more people should get out and enjoy them. But yeah, the woods. I do like the beach, but I'd say the woods is my ultimate place to run.
How about favorite post-run snack or meal? This is a quite hard one.
Oh, do you know what? I have been having some milkshakes lately, which are amazing. There's some strawberry flavored milkshakes which have loads of protein in them by Shake and Udder that I've been having because I've been trying to get a lot of protein in because I'm marathon training and breastfeeding. So at the moment it's just so quick and easy just to sip it, and I can be playing with Hugo and then sip my milkshake. So at the moment, definitely strawberry flavored protein milkshake is really nice.
And finally, what's your favorite song to listen to on a run?
Oh, this one, it's got to be because I listen to it on all my ultras. I don't listen to it often unless I really am getting nitty gritty and I really need some help to push through a difficult run, but it's got to be Eye of the Tiger. You know, like the David Goggins vibe one. That one really gets me going, and I do find that so motivating, that song, when I'm feel when things are feeling hard. That is my go-to song.
That's a very good one. And I mean, music plays such an important role, especially when you need to push yourself and when you've got an uphill run to do, or it's just amazing how much power it can give you.
Absolutely, definitely had it on repeat when I was doing ultras, and it did, it sort of gets me in the right frame of mind to push through. Music can be really powerful, can't it?
Nat, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you so much for your time and thank you so much for coming in the show again.
No problem, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me on. Love chatting with you.
Thank you so much for listening to Why Running. If you love this episode, then please leave me a review and share this podcast on your social media. And if you'd like to hear more from me, then make sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. I'll see you next time.